his image. And God is a very joyful God. He's a God who loves praise and worship. You know, music is incredible when you listen to it. I mean, how did that ever come to be? How did the birds of the air learn to sing like they do? How? Have you ever heard a nightingale sing? Yeah, it's incredible. Have you ever heard me sing? It's not incredible. It's not unusual. But it's amazing. It's amazing when you look at God's creation and there's sound and there's singing and there's notes and there's tone and there's rhythm. Who's got rhythm? Okay, well, one hand goes up. Rhythm is incredible, isn't it? Where did rhythm come from? When you look at different cultures, and this is quite interesting, when you look at different cultures, what defines cultures is around their dance, their singing, their music. You see it everywhere. Do you realize how joyful Jewish people are? Yeah? Have you ever seen them? I mean, really do let go. No holding back. Their music, their culture. I mean, we lived in Greece. The Greeks, when they dance, it defines their culture, their songs about them as a people and how they dance. And we've tried it. It's very difficult to do sober. When you look at Indian music, Indian culture, Russians, you know, Russian culture, all these cultures have incredible music and dance. It's part of their DNA. When you look at anthropology and you look back at the history of the human race, you can tell where people are by, this is what anthropologists do, they can tell by worship, they can tell there's items of worship and there's items of culture. It's how God has created us. He's created us to sing and to dance and to rejoice. It's part of us. And as Brits, what do we have as our cultural? the English cook breakfast. Shepherd's pie. Okay. But, you know, if you go... Strictly Come Dancing, do you watch that?
No.
Okay, well, I was going to pray for you then, but...
pray for you, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. I need praying. But when you look at even our culture, I mean, we have folk music, we, you know... Fred's not here, is he, Fred Goethe? I saw Fred Goethe on TV the other day. He was on Come Dine With Me playing his accordion. He's in the Morris Men. But, you know, even for Britain, we have historical dance and music, and it's what happens. And it's such a big industry around the world. And it's because it's how we're made. Whether you like it or not, it's how we're made. God has made us to boogie on down. He has made us to sing and to dance. He has made us to sing and praise his name. And that's where we need to be. And a couple of passages I was looking at, which was quite interesting. 2 Samuel 6, verse 5. And you probably know this part. This is where the Ark of the Covenant is coming into Jerusalem. It's been staying at someone's house for a while, and it's on the move. And some poor guy called Uzziah touched it and then got struck down dead. That all happened. But it says here about the people of Israel, about David, it says, when they were moving the ark, David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord. Before the Lord, they were celebrating with all their might, with songs and harps, lyres, tambourines. We've got a tambourine. Lulu's going to give you a demonstration later on how to play it. We have a tambourine. Cisterns and cymbals, all these percussion instruments. They were praising the Lord with all their might. Do you know what? I don't think it was very quiet. They were praising and rejoicing before the Lord. And then it says, now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom. That's where the ark was. Obed-Edom. I want to say Obi-Wan Kenobi, but Obed-Edom is what it is. And everyone, everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. With rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. It was a sacrifice before the Lord. Then it says, David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord. This is King David. He danced before the Lord with all his might. With all of his might. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Micah, the daughter of Saul, watched from the window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him with her heart. He was leaping and dancing. This was the king. Dancing, leaping, praising God. She despised him with all of his heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the tent of David and pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings, fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. He gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites before both men and women. All the people went to their home. So he fed them, they went to the home. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. And this is what she said. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in sight of the slave girls, of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. She criticized him for what he'd been doing. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house, when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people of Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. So David said, I will be even more undignified than this, because I am doing this before the Lord. We sang that the other day. Do you remember that one? I will be even more undignified than this, because it was before the Lord. And you know what it says about Michal, the daughter of Saul? She had no children to the day of her death. She basically brought her curse upon herself by how she'd criticized. There was envy and jealousy in her heart, but she also despised the fact that the king was free and he was praising and worshiping God. And she felt very uncomfortable about it. You know, we sing this song. We sang it last time. When the Spirit of the Lord is in my heart, I will dance as David danced. Okay? I think those words are probably not the best words, because it's not when the Spirit of the Lord is in my heart. I think it should be because the Spirit of... When is the Spirit? All the time. You may not feel like rejoicing. You may not feel like dancing. You may not feel like singing. You may not feel like worshiping. But when the Spirit of the Lord is in your heart, my heart, we will dance as David danced with all his might before the Lord, not embarrassed about what people think. You know, because it's before the Lord. It's before the Lord. Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. Our drummer's wearing dungarees today. You have to be free to wear dungarees. I tried it, not allowed. No, that's true. But I noticed that Toby's got on the front of his dungarees, liberty, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the liberty is, the Spirit of the Lord here this morning?
Yes.
Is the Spirit of the Lord within you this morning?
Yes.
Good. Then there is liberty. There is freedom. And as a, you know, we need to get back into that freedom. When I got saved in the early 80s, we were very proud of the fact that we were not conforming to the old religious traditional ways, that we were the new free people of the moving of God. You know, we had tambourines. We didn't have hymn books. We had an overhead projector. Yeah, yeah, those were the days. We had an overhead projector. We were free. But, you know, we were very proud that we'd moved away from the old-style church. But when you think about it, we've created our own pews. Haven't we? We've created our own pews. We tend to come, we go to the place where we feel we want to go to every week. We can sort of sit behind there. We don't want to move, we don't want to come out, you know. But you need to get out of the pews. Get out of the pews. Come into the freedom that God has for you. That God has for you. I think one of my real passions is to kick out the spirit of legalism and of religion. Because the devil wants you to be bound. He doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to be, you know, self-conscious. He doesn't want you to let go. He wants you to be bound. You know, we have our routines, we have our order of services, all the things that we've inherited over the years we see as sacred. But when God moves, things happen. And we need to go with the flow of the Spirit. Didn't even know if I was going to get to speak today. Yeah, I was going to say, I was waiting for that. I'm sure many of you were thinking, oh, praise God. It was a close call, yeah. It was a close call. Oh, gosh, I'm on 12:05. No, but 2 Chronicles. This is when the ark is being brought to Solomon's temple, okay? It says this. All the Levites and all who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. Can you imagine that? How would you feel if we had 120 trumpets in here this morning? Scriptural. 120 trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison and with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord, as with one voice. Isn't that fantastic? You know, I used to have to go to school assembly when I was at school, and I was in the Cubs and I had to go to church, and I used to sit there and we used to stand. It was like, praise my soul, the King of heaven. I thought, man, this is death. I didn't like it, you know. And it's only when I came into the freedom of the Spirit, I realized that, you know, God is really quite joyful. He likes stuff. And so this is what happened. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices to the Lord and sang, He is good. His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Isn't that great? They were making this noise. There was trumpets. There were cymbals. They were singing as one. They were singing, He is good. His love endures forever. And the temple was filled with a cloud. And do you know what happened then? And then the priests could not perform their service because the cloud for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? The priests, what they had planned, couldn't happen because God was there. As Jesus said, it was Sabbath made for the man or man made for the Sabbath. You want to keep the Sabbath, but you've got to realize why these things are in place. We're here to praise God. Do you fast when the groom is with you? No. Because this is where we want to be. This has to be filled with the presence and the glory of God. And we're part of that. We're part of that. Don't be deceived out of God's blessing. Don't be deceived out of God's blessing. The devil hates praise. He hates worship. He hates freedom. He wants to keep you shackled. He wants to keep you chained. He wants to stop you from rejoicing. Have I got stopped now? He wants you to rejoice. He does. And when you rejoice, things happen. We were involved in the Ghanaian church and prayers in Greece, and I used to speak there quite a lot. And they had this thing on the wall, and it said, "Praise is the key to victory." Praise is the key to victory. And they used to really praise the Lord for a long time. You know, and it was incredible, and an incredible thing. Isaiah 61, verse 3, I think we've said it. Instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. I know that as put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you feel heavy, what should you do? Put on the garment of praise. If you feel depressed, throw off that spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. You know, if you don't like all this stuff, you're going to have a real problem in heaven. Because it's going to be loud. It's going to be loud. We think of dear loved ones who have departed recently and gone to be with the Lord. Rejoicing, praising God. Wow, this is where we're heading. We're heading for this, folks. The banquet of the Lamb, the wedding feast, is going to be great. You looking forward to it?
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to praise God. It says in Revelation 5:13, then I heard, this was John's vision of, you know, the apocalypse, Revelation. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and in all of them singing to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praised, glory, and glory, power forever and ever, to him who is seated on the throne. Praise and awe and honor, glory and power forever and ever. Every living being that's ever been created, praising God. The animals, the birds, and everything, praising all creation, praising. Isn't that incredible? It's going to be loud, folks. It's going to be loud. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be great. It's going to be joyful. You know, be free in your spirit. Psalm 150 says this. Okay, finish with this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Not just ding. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Carry on. Praise him with cymbals that just never stop clashing. Cymbaling. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. I think that's cue for a song.
It just looks like it.
There you go. I've muted myself. Maybe there was a hint there.
freedom. I'm just looking, I've got something written down about the Freedom Festival, and as I was praying through that, freedom from shame, freedom from addiction, freedom to know self, and freedom to love. And that's the freedom we want, isn't it? That's the freedom we want. We want freedom from all those things in our old life, and that freedom to know God, freedom to be who God made us to be, and freedom to love.